Douglas Carswell, President and CEO, Mississippi Center for Public Policy. Douglas, good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Paul. How are you?
Thank you for coming in, my man. I appreciate it very much. There are a lot of things going on. Just saw some of the new possible vice presidential candidates for RFK Jr. Nicole Shanahan, not too familiar with that name. Jesse Ventura, we know about. Tulsi Gabbard. Aaron Rodgers, of course, Rand Paul, and Andrew Yang. Man, some people who are far left and left, other than Tulsi Gabbard. I think that would be a good hit, but she probably wouldn't go on that ticket. I'm not sure. You've been following everything going on. What's the top one or two things as far as the legislature and the bills that are still alive that's in your radar?
I think the really interesting bills are those that are going to give Mississippi real change. It's quite easy during a legislative session to get caught up in battles over bills that actually turn out to be little more than froth. But what are the really big strategic changes? And I think there are two or three potential bills that actually, if they go through, would really change things. And I think top of that list is something called the Inspire Act. Now, this is Rob Robertson's bill. It would put not just an extra $250 million into Mississippi's public schools. It would make sure that that money actually got where it's needed to go, into the classroom. We've got a really bad system at putting money into the classroom. We spend a lot of money. You would have heard politicians talk about putting more into education. It's not a very good system that we've got at the moment, the MAEP. It's a sort of clunky Soviet-era system. The Inspire Act that Rob Robertson has come up with would actually allocate money to each child. Every child in Mississippi would get a weighted entitlement, and it would really transform the education system. So I think that is probably the number one big strategic reform on the horizon.
Before you move on that one, I'm going to ask you, it's almost like one of these TV shows on HGTV. Do we buy a new house or do we remodel the house? Because it inspires a whole new house to fit today's family. MAEP is saying, let's just remodel the house and do the same thing for that one room, and that one room would be allocation of redirecting allocations. How do you explain that? How's the difference there?
It's not just remodeling the house. It's trying to remodel the house in the wrong neighborhood.
Good analogy.
We don't want to be where MAEP is. MAEP basically puts the money in the hands of a system, and what you need to do is to fund students. Every student has different needs. And some students might want to do some things and others do other things. If you fund the system, the students almost become the afterthought. And Shad White recently produced a report showing that of all the southern states, Mississippi actually manages to spend more on bureaucracy in the education system than any other state bar D.C.
And it's increasing and it's getting out of control.
Yeah. So I don't think we want to live in the MAEP neighborhood. We need a new neighborhood, and I think Rob Robertson's Inspire Act gives us a totally new way of funding education that we need to change.
It is a little bit disconcerting. To me it's a little surprising that the Senate would do that, to take that mode of correction to fix something that old and something that out of whack, but I'm not sure what goes on behind the scenes.
Yeah, I mean, I would hope that the Senate might realize that just because it's not their idea, it doesn't mean it's a bad idea and they have to be against it. There's clearly an overwhelming consensus on both sides of the aisle in the House.
Well, here's the thing, that if 5 years from now, 3 years from now, 2 years from now, maybe even next year, nobody will remember that Inspire is new and it was the House or the Senate. It was just the legislative session.
Of course. So, I mean, I hope common sense prevails, that it would be a real pity if because the Senate can't work with the House, that this wonderful Inspire bill doesn't get through. But there are other things. I mean, the other biggie is, of course, healthcare. And there's a great debate at the moment. Will they or won't they expand Medicaid? Now, I don't really want to get into that. You've heard lots of people talking about that. Far cleverer people than me will have lots more to say on it. But there's one thing that we could really do to transform healthcare in Mississippi. And there are two bills that would do this. One is Hank Zuber's Certificate of Need repeal bill, and the other is I think it's Lee Yancey's, I think it's HB 848. Now, if these two bills go through, they will help repeal the intentionally restrictive laws known as Certificate of Need laws, which explain why Mississippi has suboptimal health outcomes.
What's Zuber's number? Do you know? Do you have it on there?
I think it's HB 848.
How about the other Senate bill is?
I'd need to look that up. That's right. Hank Zuber's bill. It's a broader certificate of need repeal bill. But both of them are really, really good. And if both of those went through, we'd need to know the exact shape of what the Zuber bill entailed. Mm-hmm. But it would remove some of the intentionally restrictive practices. Now, if you get rid of the red tape that has been intentionally created to keep out the competition, you would get more competition in healthcare. You would get better outcomes. So I think in terms of long-term strategic change, giving Mississippi the reform we need, those two certificate of need bills are really significant. And then, of course, PERS, that is a huge strategic question. Some people might unkindly say that the current people running the PERS scheme have been asleep at the wheel. I wouldn't dissent from that. Now, finally, by putting in a new management board, I think we might be able to address things that should have been addressed a decade ago. Mm-hmm. But even changing the board is not going to change the math. Fundamentally, like Texas a decade ago, like Arizona several years ago, we need to change the system so that the math adds up, and the sooner we do that, the better.
Back to education, I was looking at some of these. HB 867, student transfers, remove requirement. Janssen-Owen bill referred to the Senate Education, so it's still alive in yesterday's work. Mm-hmm. It's an act to remove the requirement for the school board of a school district of a child's resident consent to the release of the student for transfer to another school district. In other words, if somebody wants to go from public school to public school, it makes it easier with not a lot of paperwork. Yeah. So I know we're not going to get a school choice bill out of this session. It just doesn't seem possible. But this is at least a little bit of a choice. If it passes, they only require that the transfer school board approve or refuse the transfer of a student upon receiving notice and official meeting of the board. To authorize the sibling of a lawfully transferred student to enroll in the transferee school district at the discretion of their parents or legal guardian. And one more, to provide that the transfer student athletic eligibility shall be determined by his or her fall semester. And they also cover every other concern in here, to provide for the allocation and disbursement of funds of the receiving school district upon the completion and certification of the student, so the money follows, to protect anything as far as racial is concerned, that is taken care of, and one more, to allow the student of active members of the United States Armed Forces to attend the school district or school of their choice. Your thoughts?
It's a great bill. It really is. It's a good bill. I think at the moment people don't realize how restrictive the system is. It's, if you want to transfer from one district to another, the sending district can veto it as well as the receiving district. Now, I think it's right that the receiving district should be able to say, hey, we don't have any space here. But if they're happy to take you, if they do have space, mm-hmm. I don't think it's anyone else's business to say no. And that bill allows that. So I think it's a great
bill. Well, it's kind of unseemly because, the one thing a school district doesn't like to hear, it's more about the administration, it's more about the money than the students. Mm-hmm. But when you start fighting over the money and the butts of the seats, then it doesn't make your point very well.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Absolutely. It's a shame, though, that let's not forget that there was a great bill that came forward for ESAs, Education Scholarship Accounts.
Yes.
And we are now surrounded officially as of yesterday, the Louisiana state legislature began to pass a universal school choice ESA bill. That means that we are literally surrounded on all four sides now by states.
Tennessee, Arkansas, and Alabama.
Have it or are about to have it. So I think in the next legislative session, we need to ask some tough questions as to why it is that we are restricting opportunities for Mississippi children that children in other southern states now have.
Well, if we wait another couple of three elections and the Democrats take control for some odd reason, it's not going to happen then. So if it's going to be done, it's going to be done under the Republican leadership.
Well, I think if they don't do it, the Democrats might take control, because what else are you offering people other than bumper sticker slogans?
Chad McMahon, has SB 2500 referred to House rules? It made it yesterday. What is this about? I think the homeless will tell you about that and more with Douglas Carswell, President, CEO, Mississippi Center for Public Policy. Dr. Todd Atkins will talk about asthma and allergy. I think everybody can relate to that. And Kristen Lape is the director of Lilypad. She's coming up. Here goes Douglas Carswell, leaving a country that loves the blues and moving to the state that gave the blues to people in England and elsewhere. That is Bobby Rush. I watched Douglas, and maybe Lance has seen this. There's a documentary on. Bobby Rush is a big part of the documentary. And I'm not sure what venue it's on. There are so many out there. But I watched it, and it was great. Followed Bobby back home in Louisiana. It covered the Bentonia Blues, and it's somewhere on the venue, if anybody on Ceasefire Text Line knows.
I Am the Blues 2015.
I Am the Blues. That's
2015,
it.
Yes, sir.
That's it. Where? What venue is it on?
I'll find some info on that. Yeah, I know.
It's probably on Prime, but it is a great. If you have a chance to watch a documentary, do it. You will know Bobby Rush in a totally different manner.
Well, you can watch it on Tubi for free, Pluto for free, Amazon Prime. All those are your freebies. So Tubi
and the name of it one more time is?
I Am the Blues.
There you go. Your friend, Bobby Rush, and a guy on the program, and we're looking forward to getting back on. We were talking about McMahon's bill, Chad McMahon's bill, SB 2500, referred to the House. It's an act to prohibit a person from sitting, lying, sleeping, or storing using, maintaining, or placing personal property on any street. In other words, it addresses the homeless to be proactive, and that's something that's certainly not in bills in the state legislatures of a lot of cities and sanctuary cities.
Yeah, it's the let's not allow Mississippi to become like San Francisco bill.
It yes.
sounds like a very
yes.
good idea. I mean, I imagine that 20 years ago, no one in San Francisco would have required this as necessary.
I don't think even 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You
but,
know?
You know, even I was in New Orleans not that long ago, and I saw people sleeping like they do in San Francisco. Mm-hmm. So I think this legislation, sadly, I think it's necessary.
Some of the House bills that saw movement yesterday, and yesterday was a kind of a doldrums because there was a lot of appropriation work in both the House and Senate. Physical therapist delete requirement, that was Becky Curry's bill. The Seizure Safe Schools Act also was referred to the Senate Education. Squatted vehicles is still alive. Prohibit the modification. Fred Shanks' bill referred to the Senate Highways and Transportation.
I'm not sure about that. Surely in a free country, the land of the free, the home of the brave, if someone wants to adjust their truck a couple of inches, I would have thought you should be
allowed. Are you serious? I mean, a couple of inches is 4 inches is the
are you in favor of the bill?
Yes. Okay. Have you ever seen one of those coming at you at nighttime in the fog?
I think they look awesome.
You think they look awesome? If yeah. your family was in there and all of a sudden they're headed to you, they cannot see you. The headlights are pointing up to the sky.
I believe in liberty and freedom. You shouldn't restrict people.
My God, man, don't disappoint me like this. How the hell could you even want something like that coming at a family on the interstate at 75 miles an hour?
Well, there are lots of things that you could...
You know what you need to do? Somebody needs to call Douglas Carswell immediately and take them for a ride in a squatted vehicle.
I would
and
love
maybe.
That. I would love that.
The Inspire Act of 2024 referred to the Senate Education. So it's still alive. It went to the Senate Education, also the Senate Appropriation, Rob Robertson's bill. So that is good news. And one more I want to ask you about is the Charter School Act of it was revised to expand it. Jason Jansen Owen had the bill, and it was referred to the Senate Education. It is HB 1683 as far as the charter school, and to make it a little more palatable to expand charter schools.
Yeah, there's a real problem. We've had the theory of charter schools for a decade, but only, I think, 7 or 8 charter schools. We've got a system that is almost designed to say no to new charter schools, and this bill would make it easier for charter schools to get off the ground. There's no shortage of people wanting to set up charter schools. The problem is the Charter Authorizer Board, a rather misnamed institution, it's the Charter Non-Authorizer Board, and I do think it requires change. We should take away its monopoly. We should allow universities, like in other states, to authorize charter schools. I think this is a good bill. I hope it goes through.
Go ahead. Is that okay?
There are other things on education. But, you know, there is a limited special needs choice program, and I think there's some legislation to extend that. But the real biggie that we were hoping for was a bill on ESAs. Unfortunately, as we mentioned before, that isn't happening. But, I think both of Jansen Owen's bills are really good.
You guys have followed this as far as the Mississippi Center for Public Policy, as far as cons, and we've talked about this for years and years and years. Are you enthused by this one, or do you have any confidence that this was going to go through, or where are you with the with this bill?
If Hank Zuber's bill was to extensively repeal the Certificate of Need, it would be wonderful. It really would transform people's ability.
So it's marginal, it doesn't do everything?
Well, I mean, even if Lee Yancey's slightly lesser bill, 848, goes through, if we can show the vested interest that repealing CON doesn't, you know, the sky doesn't fall in, I think that will be a significant win. Look, this legislation's been on the statute book for 40 years, and the House up until now hasn't even been prepared to allow it through committee to be debated and voted on the floor.
Yeah.
So this is progress.
Which, what I don't understand is sometimes I think it's good to be unaware or dumb on some of these things because you can ask the questions. But I do not understand if there is a hospital that is dying in a small market and somebody wants to come in, open an office that is a service, diagnostic service, that is not available at the hospital because they can't afford it, they don't have enough patients, et cetera, et cetera, they haven't cultivated that patient role, then why is that a competition?
Yeah,
it seems to be you have to have a con to come in, and we'll have to go through all of this hoopla because later on, 10 or 15 years, we're dreaming about putting this service back in. So we can't have it. And that hurts the people.
Yeah, I mean, there are 19 different areas where you've got con on. And on the one hand, you've got lawmakers saying, we need to make sure people have better access to mental health services. Right. Okay. So why do we restrict that? People say, we need to make sure people have better access to diagnostics. Okay. So why do you intentionally restrict that? Removing con would address a lot of these issues. But, you know, 30 or 40 years ago, the way people accessed healthcare was very different. There was much less specialization. You tended to have to go to a general hospital for things where you can now go to a specialist clinic. Certificate of Need prevents the change that we need to see in the way we deliver healthcare. It sort of traps us back into a sort of 1960s model of provision.
When there are literally thousands of bills, sometimes we just have to have a kind of an overview of what's going on. And one of those is, you know, we talked about this for 10 or 15 years. Seems like there's some possible movement on physical therapists. And with several bills still alive. So your thoughts on that?
I think that would be good. The more we can remove these restrictions and this red tape, the better. But I think if you want a broad picture of what's going on in the legislative session, the real story is how the House is the source of innovative ideas that will change and transform Mississippi. I think the really interesting question is, why is the Senate so often not coming up with big picture ideas? And why are they so often against the ideas that are presented to them? That really is, I think, the fundamental question. Why is the House driving the change we need? And why is the Senate so often the roadblock to reform? And what can be done to change that?
You do develop a personality from your legislation, especially now since the transparency is out there as far as video on YouTube and audio, and we as a talk station network keep people informed. And their personality is exactly what you just said as far as the Senate is concerned.
I know, and it's... I genuinely am puzzled by it. But the good news is that the House and the new Speaker is such a force for change. And I think one of the things I'm really excited about is at the end of the session, our organization, Mississippi Center for Public Policy, is going to be hosting Speaker Jason White, who's going to be talking a little bit about his vision for Mississippi. And I think some of that big picture thinking is exactly what the state needs.
What's your big picture thinking as far as Medicaid expansion?
I'm not instinctively in favor of hosing federal dollars at the problem, but I do think that conservatives like me need to answer the question, okay, what do we do for someone on $30,000 whose family doesn't have access to healthcare? How can we, if we are going to expand Medicaid, okay, let's say we agree that we expand Medicaid, how do you do that in a way where they're guaranteed work requirements? Because I think, you know, until you can show that you're not going to be subsidizing people who are currently privately providing for healthcare, until you're not going to be subsidizing people who aren't in work, I think you've got real problems. So I think it's 50-50.
Do you think the bills that are there now, still alive, address that?
I don't think
as far as the House is concerned?
I don't think they do. I think there's very little reassurance that it would be anything other than a form of subsidy.
One final quick question here. This has nothing to do with stateside. Watch the buzz overseas. I played a cut from Australia. We play some from different places. What's the buzz on Joe Biden overseas?
I think
in Great Britain,
there's bafflement. How can it be that a country as innovative as the United States, a country that has led the free world for so long, can produce in high office someone who, no disrespect, but he's just getting on a bit. I think there's sort of bafflement. Surely America can do better.
Bafflement is a good word over there. Here it's kind of whoppy-jawed, but they're the same thing. Thank you, man. Appreciate it
Thank
very,
you so
very much.
Much.
Douglas
Thanks.
Carswell, President, CEO, Mississippi Center for Public